if we were to, for example, take some of the $2 billion, according to a Pentagon official testifying before the Senate, that we spend every week in Afghanistan on the war, if we were to invest that in, say, building hospitals, building wells, building irrigation systems for the agricultural sector, strengthening the education sector, the healthcare sector, all of this would enable Afghans to have a future, have a profession, have opportunity for training, have opportunity to be able to feed their families without joining a militant group, being a lookout, being someone who digs a hole for a roadside bomb, being able to refuse attraction of being part of destabilizing the country in order just to get a little money or a little food for their families. And so if we can reinvest some of that money, it can go a long way in creating more stability in the country, a positive feedback loop that would help create more civil society. And that's going to be, I think, the function as the U.S. Forces draw down, I guess, in Afghanistan, although they will be leaving 9 military bases and 100,000 private contractors, or they want to. There will be a chance for peace if there can be a large civil society, economic sectors that can employ people and keep them out of the fighting.
Although, what would you say that if that investment did take place and could steer clear of corruption and actually do what was intended, that you have a governing structure that is no structure at all, that there's no government, well, there's a government, but it's not in charge because the Taliban is, or a militant group, or outside Al-Qaeda-type influences push against or take over the government, so that all this wonderful stuff couldn't really function. Is that a view that's not really accurate, or would those things settle down or settle themselves out a little bit if the country just worked a little better, do you think?
Well, I think that you have to have probably a third country or some independent entity, a multinational, multilateral entity, which could invest these funds and create projects which with input from individual Afghans and communities in Afghanistan, it couldn't go through the Afghan government. As Kathy said, it's very corrupt, and it will continue to be corrupt as long as there isn't this large civil society which can check their own government. And it can't be the U.S. government itself that does it, because they're already losing so much legitimacy. They've been there 12 years and haven't created the conception among Afghans that most of the things that they depend on for life, clean water, food, fuel, all of these commodities can be attained in any sense of secure future.
You know, there is a leader who is known all across Afghanistan named Ramadan Bashar Dost. And he's a very quirky guy. He, if you go to meet him, you might be meeting him in a vacant lot in a pup tent with plastic chairs to sit on. He gets his salary and immediately distributes it to the poorest of the poor in Kabul. And he drives around in an old car. They call it a Mr. Bean car. And he always wears a kind of very identifiable white suit with construction workers' boots. Now, he came in third in the presidential elections, and he says that he believes, just what Buddy said, there would have to be another entity outside of Afghanistan to come in some kind of a supervising capacity. And I'm sure that doesn't endear him to the warlords that are currently running the country, but he also says, and this at great risk to his life, that every single warlord whose hands are stained with blood, who massacred people, who achieved great power through murder, should acknowledge, apologize, and restore the money that they stole. Now, it's amazing to me that he gets away with saying that, actually. He studied at the Sorbonne. He's a very bright man, multilingual. He's written books. 65% of Afghanistan's population are under 25 years of age. It's a very young country, and it's actually not so hard to imagine that vast numbers in that population might recognize, through leadership of somebody like Dr. Bashar Dost, that they have more in common joining together to try to restore the dignity of work in agriculture, which is what they know how to do and have known for centuries, than to keep fighting one another and making themselves more vulnerable to the like birds of prey, which is how I see the neighboring countries and countries far away like the United States that see resources and think, well, we'd like to control those, thank you. So, you know, we don't really have any business being prescriptive, but I also don't think it helps anyone to sort of be mesmerized and say, oh, well, war is just inevitable and those people can never solve things. I think if they could be unburdened from the militarism that pushes and exacerbates constant warfare, there could be, within Afghanistan, the development of problem solving. They would need resources, though, and I wouldn't give up on the United Nations.